Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, I may or may not have had a glass of wine.
Okay. Okay, I feel so honestly, I've never felt like I've come to an episode with this much energy. Like, I want to jump into the Zoom and like shake you, hug you and punch you and like do all sorts of things. Well, I'll tell you, and I'm glad you had a glass of wine.
Because I'm the opposite. I'm like ready to just snuggle under a duvet and just like, and just drift off to dreamland.
Okay. We're coming in hot with two different energies.
I'm the Kathy Lee to your Hoda. You know, Hoda's up at 4 a.m. She's on the treadmill. She's making the most of her every day. And Kathy Lee is just like barely getting to the studio on time. And that's where I'm at.
For sure. And by the way, where is our offer to host the Today Show? Well, you're definitely not getting one, though, because of your past.
Definitely not. But we got him back with Al Roker was on to us.
He was up to us and on to us. Yes. And I am doing the Today Show in a few weeks, which I have to tell you about. So hopefully I can get us closer.
Yeah.
Jessica, just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And it's 12:30 right now.
Yeah.
And I would say 12:28. I am high on sending an email at 12:28 in which I fired someone.
Whoa! Whoa!
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's Scorpio season, baby.
Oh, shit. Nobody is safe. I swear to God, nobody's safe.
When I tell you, now I know some deep divers are going to be like, oh, that's really horrible. You feel so great. And I do. And I do because this has been on my mind for a while. It's been a professional relationship I've been so deeply unsatisfied by. Yeah. And I have not had the time and the bandwidth, and I've not been able to come up for air to really deal with it.
Well, you know what my dad says? The first time you think about firing somebody,
you should fire them.
It never, ever gets better. He told me that. And we, Lennon and I, had to learn the hard way a couple times. We have to learn a lesson at least 10 times before we really learn it.
It sticks.
But I think it's very hard for women to say no thank you.
And you know what I'm so proud of?
Unsatisfactory service.
That's correct.
Yep.
And what I'm so proud of, and this is harnessing Scorpio, is I wrote an email that was
clean as day, baby. I haven't even read it, and I love it.
Okay, it wasn't.
No, it's like here are the reasons. I'm not saying I'm sorry.
I actually didn't give reasons.
Oh, good for you.
I didn't give reasons.
It just isn't a good fit.
No is actually a complete sentence. No is a complete sentence. And this is not a relationship that I believe some do deserve the more of my time to actually say this is why it's not working. And I'm going to give you the respect and, you know, time of explaining why, because I believe that you could use that and learn from it and take it forward. This is not that. And so, I'll read it to you. Some, you know, names and particular roles will be redacted. But I simply said, and everybody, again, don't be worried. This isn't, you know, this is somebody.
It'll be okay.
Everybody's going to be okay. And this is, you know, Hollywood agent. They're going to be just fine. I really am not concerned. But I said quite plainly, the subject line was simply update.
Wow. Update on your employment with me.
Hi, name and name. As of today, I'm terminating our relationship.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh my God. I just didn't see that. Yeah. You jumped right in. Okay.
I'm thankful for the work you have done for me, but ultimately do not feel that I'm being serviced the way I should be. Wishing you the best. June.
Whoa. And this will come out of left field, like they will be shocked by this?
Yes. They should not be because of their work, but yeah. They might be.
And you decided to send it via email instead of calling.
If I had a relationship with them and if we were on a phone call basis,
wow. You know,
this email wouldn't have been sent.
Yeah.
But again, sure. I had to do some sort of like forensic accounting on, you know, what was wrong here.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't believe it is worth a phone call.
That's like when you say, oh, someone, I remember I had to break up with a really, really terrible therapist. And I said, I'm going to break up with them on Tuesday during my session. And my friend said, who had had a million therapists, she said, no. You will call them right now and tell them it's over. It's absolutely over. Now, this person was truly, truly terrible at their jobs. But yeah, you don't have to waste more time on this relationship. No. I got to tell you, we are exhausted as a people, as a culture. We cannot carry dead weight. We cannot. Mm. We have to look around our lives at what is sucking our energy and get rid of it. It's like when you go around your house, you're like, do I have any extra appliances plugged in that are sucking energy from me? Oh, that one. Get rid of that old omelet maker you're not using.
So
throw it out.
Good. It feels so
good. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And you know, that's the other thing you know about a good decision. Sometimes I would be confused. Like I remember somebody I had to let go and it was, oh, whoa, was it a toxic relationship? And I felt so much panic leading up to it that I thought this is the wrong thing. This is the wrong thing. And it was so painful when I did it for various reasons. And my therapist at the time said, you will feel sometimes those panicked feelings. That doesn't mean that's the wrong decision. Wait until after you've become regulated, after the event happens, see how you feel then. And it looks like you didn't even have the panic leading up to it, which is great. But some people stop themselves from getting out of relationships because they think the panic means they're doing something wrong. The panic means there's a change coming and the brain doesn't like change.
Now, listen, I also think there's something to be said for... you and I both, I'm sure, across our, you know, through our careers, have had to fire many people, you know, and I have, and it's hard, right? This, I know it seems like I couldn't be more joyful.
I couldn't be more joyful right now.
But I also think that what I have learned, if this was a phone call, what I've learned is to get the information out in the first sentence.
Yes, it's respectful.
I'm calling to let you go.
It's respectful to do that, for that person. That don't waste their time hemming and hawing and then their flight or flight response is up. Like, let's just say what's happening.
Say what you mean and mean what you say. And then the other piece of that is like, some people are like, phone call, shouldn't you do it in person? And I'm like, no, I think it's disrespectful to do it in person.
I agree.
It's like, give them the respect of having their own reaction on their own time.
That's right.
It's like, it's a lot to hear that you've been fired. I mean, you've been fired, Jessica. Would you have preferred that it happened in person?
I would have preferred.
Like called into a room?
I would have preferred the show wasn't picked up and then I thought I had the job and then I was fired. I would have preferred a couple different ways it could have gone down. I would have preferred I didn't lift a champagne glass at a Mother's Day brunch I hosted in the park with not just my mother, but also my godmother, to which I said, here's to my future. It's looking brighter than ever. Cut to me and Brandy, my best friend, who has night vision problems, driving her car into the tunnel. Like, because I got fired. The best part was I found out, I thought the show was getting picked up. Then I was like, celebrate. Then I found out at like 5 p.m. when I was on my way into the city for like the agent's party for the upfronts that I was fired. And I said, this is so me. I was like, we're going to do this. I'm going to go to this party. Having just been fired, I'm going to show up at this party. And I forced my best friend to drive me in on the turnpike. And luckily, she has night vision problems and it started to rain. And she's like, I fear that we will perish. I fear, honestly, I fear we will perish. And also, can I just say, I think this is a bad idea.
Was it an option for you to drive?
No, because I was crying too hard. She was like, you're crying too hard. I can't see the road. We have to turn back. But yeah, so yes, like, but I didn't get the respect I deserved in that scenario. I didn't. So it is based on your relationship and how you go about doing it.
It really is. And I know I might seem cold-hearted, but I do believe that a lot of times women can get, like you said, can get caught up with business decisions. This isn't a personal relationship. I'm so sorry.
Money exchanged.
This is a transaction. This is a transaction. And I don't love when businesses actually take the approach of like, we're family. No, you're not. I am actually friends with a lot of people who work at Jane Club, and I do love them dearly. And I understand that it's a transaction.
Yeah, yeah. We have to get clear about that.
Otherwise,
it gets muddy, and then you make poor business decisions because you're like, oh, well, that person's a friend. And I think the thing my therapist was saying the other day to me was, she said, you know, Jessica, you have good instincts, you have good intuition, but you second guess yourself all the time. I want you to trust your intuition. I think women have excellent intuition. I think it's our survival. It's baked into us to know, like you were saying, this person is going to kill me. This person is going to want to sex me. You know, this person is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Jury's still out on that.
I'm not sure if I've told this story before, but I went away on a trip with a bunch of friends, some of whom you know, but I'll keep them nameless right now, over New Year's 1 year. And there was a friend of ours, gay man, who I had just met that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were all over the weekend doing pranks on each other.
That's great.
Okay.
I love a good prank.
Okay. We're at dinner. Now, I don't know this is a prank.
Okay.
And one of our friends, this gay man, turns to the friend who had brought him, and they've been friends, the girlfriend. They've been friends for like 20 years.
Okay.
And we're all talking about what our New Year's resolution is going to be. And he announces to the table that he would like to sleep with a woman. Now, I turn to him and say, now, Paul's there. I'll do it.
I'll volunteer.
I volunteered because I assumed this is, I was seeing what you said, you know, we assume, some of us assume people always want to sex us up. And I did assume he was talking to me. He wasn't.
No.
He wasn't.
But I did
assume, and I said, I felt like, oh, I'm being called up to duty, you know?
Right. If I was a gay man that was decided on a lark, let me have that experience once and never have it again, I'd choose you.
Thank you. I felt I was the most obvious choice. I did
out of all of our friends,
out of all of the women who were there, a lot of whom you know, I felt it is my duty as a woman.
You're going to provide this
service,
a full the buffet full of options. With but one would assume he's not coming to you for that. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
By the way,
if we go back to our scale of where I'm at, I think I'm closer to having anal sex with a gay man than a straight man. Okay.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Much closer.
Agreed. Agreed. Right? Yes. Yeah, I don't know why, but yes, it would have to be a trusted friend. A trusted friend.
So, you know, I do know that, you know, I've had instincts that have been wrong too. You know, and it was
tough.
It's one of those things. It's like after I said that to the group and then it was revealed it was a prank, you know, I had some splaining to do, you know, about why I thought that was that he was speaking to me, why I was willing to do that, why I did that with Paul there. You know, there were a lot of questions
but
that
Paul
I had to
wasn't
answer.
Surprised at all by that, right?
No.
And probably would have been maybe okay with it. That's an interesting, indecent proposal. It's an interesting, indecent proposal about would you have a problem with it? It would still be, I guess I was just like,
if this man really wants to be deflowered by an adult woman, you know,
let's just make sure it's a good experience.
Yes. And I don't trust any of these other ladies.
Yeah. Wow. That's hurtful
to deliver.
People who were, it's hurtful to the people that were there.
It was. It was an indictment on many levels.
Do not ever forget that people have secret moves. That some of the people that you think are the worst in bed, they might
That's a lesson I learned a long time ago.
They might surprise you. Okay.
You know what? I think that is true. And I think what's also true is the people you assume
are great aren't.
That has been my experience.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting with online dating, which I never did. And I,
neither did I. We're too old for that.
Too old for that. But I often wonder because I've been managing somebody's Hinge account, who shall remain nameless.
What?
But I was given the keys. Given the keys to the castle. Now, I have not
like
been
Roxanne, like you're taking on
Yes. I'm doing the writing. I'm doing the vetting, you know, and have I gotten to the date stage? No, not yet. I had a Greek man on the line that I really thought we were going somewhere. No, but I am managing someone's Hinge profile. But what I often say to my client is, please, let's keep an open mind. We don't know. Sometimes the dress in Lohmann's that you say, that's disgusting, you put it on and it becomes your prom dress, okay? So it's hard with these photos because we're swiping. We're like, fuck this.
I will never forget, because Paul and I started off as friends. I will never forget the night we were at Casey's birthday party and we were not, you know, we were friends.
Right.
And I wore a short skirt and we were sitting next to each other and that motherfucker just left his hand, put his hand on like my inner thigh and left it there. And I was like, excuse me?
Yes.
And it was the moment So you don't know what people are working with.
You don't
ever know. And that's the interesting thing about men in general is like, I always find it so fascinating. We may have to cut this out, but like, you don't know what their dicks look like. They're hidden away. And I know this is basic information, but they're hidden. Like our bodies are on parade.
Truth.
But we don't know what they're working with.
No.
It's so fascinating.
Honestly, until it's too late. Until it's too late.
Really, like, it's really one of the most fascinating things to me. Like, you just have to you got to get in there and see.
And it's not just about the size or the length. It's about the color, the consistency, the girth. What's one man's trash is another woman's treasure. Okay. Right. You don't.
And it's not,
I mean,
always
about
the size of the boat, but the motion of the ocean.
Exactly.
You know, so
you gotta
it's
try
like
something out. You may look at a Ford Fiesta and say that car's not for me, but it could be a zippy little driver. You know,
listen,
you could,
as somebody who owns a Pacifica minivan, I will tell you, as Casey Wilson says, the worst part of having a minivan is walking up to it. But once you're inside,
ooh, it's a luxury.
Baby. Ooh, baby. You got cup holders for days. It's great in there. It's like a spaceship. It's like literally being in your living room and taking it for a ride.
That's wonderful.
Who doesn't want that?
Who wouldn't want that? I wish I had more kids just to justify the purchase of a minivan.
Jessica, I honestly would consider, if you have an SUV, I don't care how many children you have, test drive a minivan.
Because also,
see
think
what
about
that
all the treasures,
like
the antique treasures you could cart.
Oh my God. And Bibi wants to take a friend somewhere. You
great
want to pick someone else up. You just press the button. Those doors slide open.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's fantastic.
If any minivans want to come on to advertise, we are tech avail.
Very much so available.
Wow. Well,
so Jess,
anyway,
I'm so glad you had your wine. I'm so glad. I feel so relieved and I feel so clear. You know, that's,
well, that's
the gift of
how
Scorpio.
You know it was. That's how you know it.
Yeah.
God, you know, I think I'm in Scorpio season two. Whoa. Are you? Can you be in Scorpio season if you're not?
We're
a Scorpio?
All in Scorpio season, of course.
Okay, but I ain't got no Scorpio in my chart. So
doesn't
I didn't
matter.
Know if it was,
but that we're all going through it together. I think
this is
no
fascinating
research to base this claim on, but I'm pretty sure it's something
okay
we're all under.
Because I will tell you that the one benefit of being in London, I probably have said this before, is I'm having some really sharp clarity about home. Things that have like confused me for the entire pandemic. Oh, and guess what I just hired? Oh, what? June!
What?
Dan doesn't even know this. Oh God, I hope I've already put the deposit down by the time he hears. Life in general is an Instagram account I started following. It's
okay. Sounds
it's
familiar.
Like
yeah.
The home edit. It's like a different version of that. And I became obsessed with there. They have their own products, all the things. And I, you know, when I thought I was going to move out of the condo, well, I'm not going to be moving because the queen is keeping 100% of my income and I'm moving back. Well, here's the deal. I cleaned out my entire kitchen and put it in boxes and I threw out everything I didn't need. Basically in my house, all I have is the necessities.
Okay.
And I decide. And so I eventually will have to bring them all up and put everything back in the kitchen. Now I thought, do I want to come home from London with an empty kitchen and then spend the next 5 days while I'm, you know, totally jet lagged unpacking these boxes? Or do I want to hire Life in general to come and decant things into various canisters with labels. They are coming in like Santa's elves. And when we come home, everything in my kitchen and pantry will have a home. So it will be a crime. It will be a crime to not put the pasta where the pasta is supposed to be. And I will be issuing fines.
Oh my God. Well, there's no excuse. There's not going to be an excuse for that pasta going where that pasta should be going. Because you'll
right
know.
And I thought to myself, this is like an expenditure. And I don't know if that, you know, but you know what? I want to come home with clarity. I want to come home without clutter because to bring it back to HSPs, okay, mm-hmm, we had so many deep divers
so
reach
many
out. Turns out 100% of our listeners, again, I haven't done the data, are HSPs.
No, I am so comfortable making that claim. That's just
are
a fact.
We
I
just
know
are. And I have to tell you now, I've said a lot of things have changed my life, including several hot tools. Okay. But mm-hmm, this, the recognition of this has mm-hmm really shifted things for me. And I really think it's interesting it happened during Scorpio season because I am looking at my life with clear eyes. Like I always thought, I don't want to have like I don't want to have to have my house be orderly. Well, guess what? As an HSP, this clutter and mess is driving me crazy and bringing me down.
Me too.
So now it's time to take the time to keep it in order. And we have to have systems and everybody's got to get on board for it. But it's vital to our health. I think our emotional health. That was an aha. Aha.
Motherfucking ha.
Ha.
So, aha.
Ha. Okay.
Okay. Aha. So I will tell you, I'm so glad to hear this. And I will say there are certain things I believe are very important to spend money on.
Yep.
And I will have people know, like, I actually don't spend a lot of money on clothes. I don't shop. Like, I really don't.
No.
But I more and more, because I hired, not Life in General, but I'm really interested in them.
Yeah, I will be. I'm going to post
Grace.
It.
Okay. I hired a woman named Grace who came from Casey. Now she's booked seemingly year round.
Mm-hmm.
And she, because I've actually had a very bad experience with a home organizer.
Oh, God. Okay.
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 Who, similar to that email I just read you, I had to write an email that was as strongly worded as that one.
Yeah. Okay.
In which her claim when we were moving to our new house was that we would walk in and everything would not only be put away, but put away in systems of organization, and that there was going to be a complete decluttering, and that she was going to get, we had a storage space at that time because we couldn't fit everything in our house. She was going to get rid of the storage space. She doesn't believe in storage spaces, like all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So a few things happened, but I will tell you this. The process was horrible. Mm. And I also live with like a pretty good organizer. So,
yeah. Oh, yes. You have, like, I would hire Paul to organize my shit.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
wait, do you think Paul works for Life in General?
Whoa. Honestly, it would be such a smart side hustle for him.
If I see Paul really on my Nest Cam, like going through my sundries, I'm going to be really disturbed.
So please know that they went to our storage space and we had many, many different things in there. But months later, in tough news on our anniversary, I got a DM because she said there's a donate pile and there was a pile that we were going to like go through and that we were taking to the new house. I got a DM where there had been a photograph that I had sort of made into a canvas picture.
Yeah.
And it was of the two of us on our wedding day.
Yeah.
And I got a DM from a very lovely woman saying,
Oh no.
I purchased
No. Wait, what?
Thrift store where it was sold
for
$3.
No. Wait, a canvas photo of you and Paul on your wedding day was being sold at a
thrift
store?
That was a gift I had given to him for our first anniversary.
My God.
Yes. Yes.
That is.
Yes.
And did she do that as a service? She was like, I got to get this off the market. June would not want this being sold.
Yes, this kind person was like,
probably a deep diver now.
I know. She was so kind.
That's deep dive shit right there.
And I showed it to Paul and I said, what is this? Because he was with the organizer at that place. And he goes, I can't believe this happened. This was not supposed to be donated. This was supposed to be moved. Like there were so many things that happened like this. And so he then reached out to this woman. I was so upset about it. And I'm not like a romantic person. I don't put a ton of meaning and value on things. But it was like, this is our wedding picture.
That it was in a thrift store is almost unreal.
And it was priced at $3.
Unbelievable.
It was priced at $3. I believe like $2.99.
Oh, God. Yep. Just you, just in there. And how many people had seen it?
How many people had seen it? So then Paul reaches out to her and he's like, I'd like to purchase this from you. I'll pay you whatever. And this wonderful woman was like, you're not paying me. I'm happy to return it to you. I thought this might be a joke, but I want to return it to you. I love you both. Oh, so sweet and kind. And so Paul got it back. But That was my experience with the home organizer.
Okay.
And not only that, but on our move-in day, I arrive. Now, we've hired her to do this job, and I arrive, and she's not there.
Okay. Where is she?
And I called her and I said, where are you? And she goes, oh, I'm going to New York because it is home organization. It's National Home Organization Day. And so I'm doing some press in New York. And I was like, but what? My home needs to be organized. I thought today. She goes, oh, I have a whole team of people who are there. Now, when I tell you the decisions this team made, we had like a Halloween, like a plastic jack-o'-lantern that was underneath our bed in our old house that had the kids haunted. Like Halloween yeah. candy, which we just forgot about.
Yeah.
Because we were hiding it from them. Sure. Okay. Because they were going crazy over the Halloween candy.
Sure.
So the decisions these organizers made when we got to the new house and saw their work, quote unquote, that plastic jack-o'-lantern had been placed in Paul's closet on its own, like one of the most important candy shelves between like sweaters.
What?
It was just
like goes with like. Like goes with it like was, if we learned anything from Marie Kondo, which by the way, Sparking Joy, yes, you gotta go, you gotta watch her new show.
It's so, really, there's a new one?
Yeah, where she goes in and does like a whole, like for a business, like somebody's coffee shop, you know, oh, and wow. she's got issues. She's got ADD and she fixes everything. It's the best.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is all to say I didn't have a good experience with an organizer and Paul did have, you know, a few words with her after that thrift yeah. store debacle.
Insane. But you know what's interesting? You fired her immediately, right?
See, yes. You did. Well, she, but we did because our kitchen wasn't done. And so she kept on saying, I'm going to come back and do the kitchen. And we said, please don't.
Okay. Got it.
Which we actually already paid for, but it was like, you're not, you cannot come back into this.
Can I say though, did you let it go longer? Like, did you, just going back to the intuition, did you have an intuition about this woman that you let go on for a beat before she put your shit to the thrift store?
I did.
Yeah. So that's the thing what I mean is we need to like, just like when you, not to bring it back to people trying to kill us and or sex us, the moment you get in, you feel that there's something weird about the guy in the elevator, you got to get out. You got to fire that person. If it's a babysitter, if it's a nanny, if it's a, you know, somebody you've hired to clean your house, take care of your finances, like done, you're gone. You don't get another chance. Don't be nice.
No, it's hard because I liked this woman. I liked her energy so much. Mm-hmm. And I did get a hit that something wasn't right or that I felt like I've been sold her. And then there were all these other people who were actually doing the work and that hadn't been made clear to me.
That's right.
You know, and so, and when I tell you there were like a number of little Christmas elves working away, but what they were doing
was putting bizarre. Candy on a shelf near sweaters.
Well, they had also found like an old container of birth control, like that had dust on it.
Why and
like,
are we from the 1990s. On to those?
Yeah.
Why are
and
we
they
hanging?
Had said it. I don't know where they found it. And they had said it when I came into the bedroom, like it was the only thing they had put on my bedside table.
That's
basically,
so crazy.
which I was like, wow, like they are telling me, like, don't forget, don't procreate. Like, we see you and
you're done here. You're done here.
Like the choices felt like such an indictment. And also like you filthy candy people, like we know you want this.
In a closet, just in a closet by yourself, yeah. Which is honestly, to be honest, where I do a lot of my best candy
sure.
work.
It was just the promise of the premise was not met.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, save the cat. Well, listen, I think that, and I'm sure I've also mentioned this because I am becoming my father, but the Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink, where it says mm-hmm. your first instinct about somebody is true and you spend the rest of the time justifying it. Mm. Oh, this is why I shouldn't feel this way. This person comes highly recommended. And I've made some major league mistakes because I have gone against my intuition. My intuition is great.
It is, Jess.
But I
what we do, listen, our entire creative lives, our work is like based on like what our gut is saying, what our
improv. You have no don't think.
That's it.
Yes.
I also believe, like, I believe in forgiveness. I believe that people can take a note. Listen, I had an experience with a dog walking company months back when I was in Toronto, where I wrote this man an email that would knock your socks off because I was so upset about something that happened with Meatball, where I was like, you've put my dog at risk. You've made me, I'm ultimately responsible because you almost got my dog murdered. I would have put my dog down.
Right.
And that's on you and that's on me. And that's the level of responsibility you have. Like, I was clear as day.
Yeah.
But this man.
Yeah, came correct.
But this man met me. He met me. And he said.
And I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
And then I said, we can move forward. Because
I'm fully going back and saying, now I'm saying let people make mistakes. But. Listen,
but it depends on how you react to them, though. Like, he wrote back and was like, I agree 1,000%. I fully own and accept responsibility. And if you walk away right now, I will live with that and I will learn from that. I'd like an opportunity to change. And I gave him one.
And I agree with that 100%. Now, same thing where Bibi was riding, horseback riding, she went to a pony club day where she like mucked stalls for 8 hours. And the young woman who was their teacher that day told them all that they shoot a horse in the skull when they put it down, if it gets sick. And after a very long week, here in the United Kingdom, Bibi shared that with me before bed and I went fucking ballistic. I was like, how dare you tell a bunch of 8-year-olds that you shoot a horse in the head? I went crazy and I went into the room. I had to write it that minute. I was like, Bibi, I'll be back in 5 minutes. I went and I wrote this very, very exactly clear as day. This is what happened. This is why it's unacceptable. This is what I want to happen. And to the place's credit, they wrote right back. We are horrified by this. We will speak to her on her behalf and ours, our apologies. And I said, then all of the other evidence is that this place is great. Now, did I almost physically fight that woman when I saw her and almost take her little blonde ponytail and cut it off and just say, you're mine now, bitch?
Yeah, I was horsey.
I was really motherfucking close because these kids have been through a pandemic. Do not tell them that. So,
what did they say for themselves?
You know what? Unfortunately, at the end of the email, they really had me, thank you and taking responsibility. And then she said, you know, that is what happens. And I was like, I don't fucking care what happens. Just don't tell an 8-year-old that who has just lived through a deadly pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's connecting to these animals. Yeah.
I don't need to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let her find that out when she's in her 30s.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I remember seeing it in Gone with the Wind.
Oh, Gone with the Wind. Remember Old Yeller? Don't they have to kill that dog in Old Yeller?
I don't know, Jess.
I don't know if Old Yeller comes back or. Come back, Shane. Get out, Cody, Shane.
Cody says yes. He had rabies.
He had rabies. Yes, that shit haunts you.
So
let's hope they
dogs with rabies. It is the most humane thing to do.
I can't do. She held up in the skull of a horse and said, "This is where they would shoot it." I don't understand why that is in Pony Club. Okay.
You're totally right, Jessica. And I do believe that this is a particular time where our children's, if a pandemic had not happened and they weren't surrounded by death and viruses and numbers and all of this like insanity, if that wasn't the case, I would maybe suggest that children are sort of kept away from natural death and how sanitized that experience is for most people. And we don't see it and we don't get to be close to it. And if we had been growing up on a farm, we probably would have seen a number of horses get, you know, put down in the skull.
Listen to me. I don't want to put it on the curriculum. Also, I will say, I mean, by the age of 10, I had been to 7 or 8 funerals, seen dead bodies. I mean, if you are in a large Irish Catholic family, it's like a monthly. You are seeing everybody you love.
Yes.
Dead.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Dead. And you are being forced to go up there and look at it and see it and like squeeze out a tear or two and then be on your merry.
I have
to. And we used to play in the basement. Did you guys used to play? The cousins would be fucking playing in the basement of the funeral director, daring each other to eat the candies.
Yep.
You know?
Of course. There'd be like a couple toys there for the kids.
Right.
I know. But.
But it is right.
Now listen, I don't know if it is.
I don't know if it's right.
I'm so traumatized by, and you know, my family had a very, very different points of view on whether to keep my mother's casket open or not. And, you know, I did see my mother with an open casket and it absolutely traumatized
me. No, I
me.
Don't ever. Why am I it saying absolutely it's traumatized not a me. Good thing? I saw my best friend. No, thank you.
I'll
never forget it as long
like
as
her. I know. And there's no way for, they'll always look sad. They'll always, you know, and my mother is a beautiful woman. It was very, very upsetting. And so I said that I really wanted to close the casket and put up photos and, you know, and I, did I fucking step to one of my uncles? Oh boy.
Really? Because they wanted it open. What did your father want?
I don't remember. And my sisters and I didn't totally agree because my mother was Catholic. And I know, they felt like, you know, and I was fine to have that conversation and discussion with my dad and my sisters. But when one of my uncles tried to step, I said, sir, this is not your decision to make.
Ooh.
You'll be stepping right out of this one.
Yeah.
And I came at him pretty hard. But it was, you know, it was horrifying. And of course, like, it was Long Island and they made her look like a drag queen. And it was just like really fucking horrible.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was horrible. Horrible, horrible. Trauma.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know?
Thank God. My mother does not want that and has said that to me.
I don't want it.
I will not allow
it. If I pass suddenly, please reference this podcast, everyone.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
I wonder if we're going to come. I think that will go the way of the dinosaur. You know, I really do.
Now, I do think there is something to being a part of the process, you know, that and not keeping it away, not keeping it so sanitized, that I understand why that happens and why that is actually an important part of grieving.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about that because I think we are kept away from death and it is so sanitized. In other countries, it's not. You know, you're in your home. You take care of the washing and the cleaning and the caretaking.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I think that could be really beautiful. And I do think we're so cut off that's hard too, you know. But
yeah,
making people up, putting makeup on and what they have to do actually to present a deceased body, it won't ever look right.
Yeah.
You know, unless people have other experiences and that's beautiful and wonderful.
Oh, speaking
but for
of,
me, it was really hard.
I want to share this, which is that, so Kelly's anniversary of my dead best friend's death was last week. And I didn't realize, it's so strange. My brain refuses to remember the day, the date. Refuses. I know her birthday's coming December 1st. I love celebrating that. But
my parents' anniversary.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they're up there somewhere December loving 1st, each other. December 1st. But anyway, it was her birth. It was her the day that she died. And another random kind of connection reminded me of it. And so anyway, I had a hard day. Once I realized it, I was having a tough day. And that night, I had decided the day before, but I didn't even know it was the anniversary. I had decided, you know what? It's time to get another dog. We're going to have another puppy in the house. But for real, like BB is so allergic. We're going to get a Cavapoo puppy from this beautiful woman who raises them in Utah. And I know normally I would always adopt, but BB is so allergic. She has to get shots. Okay.
I was the same way as a child.
Yes. 2 shots a week. And we have to have a dog in this house. So anyway, but I found a woman who does it so beautifully. And so I get on the phone with her that night and I'd just been a wreck all day. And she says, I'm so, so sorry. I was late to this call. There is a little dog and I had been following her on Instagram. BB and I look at her Instagram. She said, there's a little runt called Tiny Tim in our Christmas litter. And everybody has told me to give up on him and let him pass because he's failing to thrive. But
yeah,
she said, but I am tube feeding him now. I will not give up on him. I will never give up on him. And I was like, oh my God, this woman is amazing. And turns out Tiny Tim's going to make it. Spoiler alert. But she said, so I said, how did you get involved in all these puppies? And she said, well, I had a rare form of cancer when I was 56. I had leukemia. And I said, that's crazy. What kind? The same kind as Kelly had. Kelly had an extremely rare kind that nobody survives in their adulthood. Nobody. Like we found one person who survived it. And they were like a miracle. And so nobody survives it except for this woman. She said, yeah, I survived. And in that moment, I said, Kelly, thank you.
Wow.
Coming from Kelly. And this woman said, leave it with me. Leave it with me. I know the dog. Don't worry. You'll have the dog when you need the dog. I'll call you when I have the dog. If it's not the right time with Emma, we'll wait. Leave it with me. Kelly was all over it. It was so beautiful. I felt, you know, I go in and out of going, oh, they're with us. Maybe they're not. Oh, I forget that they're with us. But sometimes now I'm in a pocket where I'm like, Jesus/Kelly/Lila, take the wheel. Right? I'm not crazy to think that was a
Jessica.
I've never met anybody. You don't meet anybody who had this thing because they're all dead.
Right. That's amazing. That's beautiful. I have shivers up my spine. That's amazing. What a gift.
June, and I will let you go because I know you have to leave. But I will say, I don't care how long they've been gone. You never stop missing them. No. Like I was like, oh, I'll never stop missing her. Like, yeah, I guess it's been 9 years, but like no one's taken her place. That is a truly crazy thing when you realize that there's nobody that special. There are other friends that come into your life, of course, and they're special in their own unique way, but I will never stop missing her.
But you wouldn't want to, you know?
I wouldn't want to.
And that's the crazy thing about grief is like, you know, you come to a point in your grief where you like to experience it because it's still there and they're still there. And you realize like how impactful their lives were. I'm so sorry, Jess. Yeah. But it's not, I think people mistake that of like, oh, I know I just said I'm so sorry, but like, you know, that your grief or your sadness is like a place you shouldn't be or you'd want to get out of. It's like, no, actually, what a tribute to a life. What a beautiful tribute to a life and a woman that, yes, this many years later, you do feel sad, you do long for her, and nobody can take her place. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It means you're really special.
Yes. Yes.
You're like a one of a kind. And that's what she was. She was a one of a kind. And I feel her with me now more than ever in this month. And so, you know, I think I just want a couple deep divers have reached out to say they've lost loved ones recently. And I always want to remind them. I always write back the same thing. And I always am worried, like, I hope this doesn't feel like an overreach, but I always say they're with you. They're with you.
Yes.
Please know that they're with you.
I feel the same and I believe it. And I feel it. That's the thing. Like, I don't feel the need to justify it, or it's just, it is, it just is. It just is.
Yeah. 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 Well,
I mean, I was going to talk about Cody's curtain bangs.
God, I need to see them.
I don't know how to gracefully transition us.
Really took another ride tonight. Home edit, organization to dead friends.
Well, you know, it's been cut out of the podcast, but we did have about a 10-minute a 10-minute pause where Jessica's charger died or something happened.
My computer keeps dying, and it's like it's brand new. And like, do they have an Apple store in London? Like, does it work the same? You know, do they have different plugs? Like, when they get a computer, is it the same?
Well, okay, so I wonder, is something happening where it's like, you know, you go to Europe and you have different, like, you do have different plugs.
Yes,
like,
I am worried that that's part of it, is like, I'm not using the right adapter to the right adapter. Thing. I don't know, June. I mean,
the first text I got was, "Arg, there's something wrong with my colloiter." And I'm assuming that was computer.
It was. I just sat there just trying to refresh.
And then it said, anyway, it is charging, and then So I really had to decipher a few things. So I'm sorry, this is maybe a shorter episode, but I do have to run. Deep divers, you know, I was thinking, I was thinking maybe this week
just keep talking.
I know, Jessica.
I needed to let it out.
I'm so glad you brought her into this space. You know, I feel her too. And I feel like I know her through you. It's an honor.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I was even like, we're done with that part. But I just know you know how the heart aches sometimes. I know you have to get to something. It's probably to get your nails shellacked. I got to get you out of here.
Look at my children.
Oh, no, then you definitely have to go. Okay, I'm done. I'll cry by myself. What were you going to tell the people? Wait, don't.
I spent
Phoebe was waiting for like 20 minutes today. Phoebe was like, they turned the lights out in the classroom today. And I was the only one and the janitor. I was like, oh, okay, fine. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I would be interested to see some different organizational systems.
Deep divers
have it in them to send.
I'd love to see beauty. I'd love to see some cosmetics. I'd like to see what people are working with on their sinks. How they're keeping, you know, how they're, I always have a lot cool up to share there. But I'd love to see, how are you keeping your makeup brushes, your makeup? Where are you putting things, decanting things? I'd love to see that. Okay, I would love to see that.
Okay, so let's just focus on beauty and sort of toiletries and products on sinks and maybe like bathroom drawers. Now, I will post a picture, but it will be very shameful for me.
Okay, I will too, but it will be
shameful.
So shameful. Why do I feel like, and then I really will let you go because I know those kiddos are waiting
children
outside.
Are waiting, you know.
Why do I feel like they're scared. Have every product out visibly so I can see it? I'm not using every single product.
Jessica, this is what I struggle with.
But why? Exactly. It can go away. It can go into a drawer. I don't have to be, it's not like I'm in an emergency situation. I'm going to be like using dry shampoo.
You're going to be shocked when I show you what I've got going on.
I won't
on.
Be shocked.
Okay, because it's all out there. Things I haven't touched in so long.
I know.
But I just feel like I might need it, and I might need it quick. really, really quick.
It's not like a toddler when they like put their hands over their eyes, you disappear. Like those products will be behind a closed door.
But I like looking at them. I do. I find them comforting. You know?
Like you need that old jar of Aquaphor. Like we don't need that out.
God,
you do?
They're so, oh God. And I will say today, I will post it. This is a shameful experience for me.
Great. I'm all right. Don't you worry about me. Post it.
Okay, deep divers. Anything you want to plug, Jessica?
Oh,
I'm so glad you talked about Oscar's kids. Our dear friend Melissa Rausch's new charity.
Please go and donate.
Please, yes. Oh, and the Instagram campaign they did was so beautiful, and I know Melissa talked about it, and Jessica talked about it last week. But it is a really important message because pediatric cancer is so hard to simply bear and be with that it goes really grossly underfunded and stays in the shadow because it's really, really hard. So I encourage everyone to follow Oscar's Kids on Instagram and to donate whatever they can.
I just wanted to, this is a plug for a Instagram makeup artist that I really think everyone would enjoy. Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, Martin Makeup. She is a brilliant British makeup artist. And I got to tell you what, she does these tutorials, June. You would love it. I don't know if you're necessarily going to learn. I think you would, though. I think you would learn them. I learned how to properly apply mascara from watching this woman. And what I do is I place it up when I'm doing the dishes and I watch her little tutorials. So please go Hannah Martin Makeup and enjoy that experience.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
And Jess, as the holidays approach, I am using my Jane Club Jane work sprints left and right because it's the only way I can kind of manage what's going on. Deep divers, I want to remind you that we have a new membership level at Jane Club. It's $25 a month. You can use code SPRINT for $5 off your first month. And we are hosting every single day 2 solid hours of pure flow and focus and accountability. Whether you're working from home, masked up at a workspace, in the office, our virtual work sprints help you cross everything off your to-do
June,
list.
June, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
I was just thinking about it. What is it like when you put your computer and they see your face? Or what is it like?
Or you can stay computers off. Oh, Jess, you would love it so much.
I know, no. When I get back, I'm literally writing my book this way. Doing the work
for you.
So wait, so the person, I know how they set the intentions. It's so wonderful. But then you can do your audio. You can do your face off. They don't have to look at you doing it.
They don't have to look at you doing it. But you write in the chat what you're going to be working on for the first sprint. There's a timer. They time it. You share your intentions with everyone via the chat. And then the facilitator sets the timer. You do your first sprint. You stretch together, you take a break, they bring you back, you do another sprint, and then set an intention for what you're working on in that sprint. So it's really cool. About getting shit done. And you can pop in and out as you please. They're really quite wonderful. So head to janeclub.com and check out the Sprinter Jane membership. All right, deep divers, we will see you next week. We love you all so much. Don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes. Share it with your friends. It helps us. It's really remarkable to see our DMs and how people are just sharing the show with their friends and sisters. And it's just beautiful.
All right. Tag us.
Yeah, let's see those sinks.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.